Yeah.
I think there's some more, but they're just not used to everything, and they can't come
okay,
up.
Okay, they can't come up. All right. And, well, if parents want to come, if they're too small, then the parents are welcome. Just sit up here with them. okay, Ms. Laverne.
Oh, you know, Pastor wanted us to open up. First of all, there's two things we want to do. And we've been celebrating a special time this week, haven't we? Do you remember what we've been celebrating as a nation? 4th of July. What does 4th of July mean? It's our... That's right. We got our independence. Say that real loud.
We got our independence.
That's right. As a nation, right? So what I want to do, and I think you all know it, I want us to stand. And first of all, we're going to... And everybody stand with us. We're going to do the pledge to the American flag. Would you please stand? Over there's our flag. We can look toward our American flag. And does anybody like to lead? Okay. What we do is we go attention, salute, pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen.
That
now,
was good.
I want you to turn, stay standing. Turn, and we want to face the Christian flag. Some of you know it, and some of you may not, but attention, salute, pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag,
Christian flag
and to the Savior, for his kingdom is saved. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and blessing for all who believe.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And then we would always do the pledge to the Bible. Somebody got a Bible they'll hold up. I've got one right here. I've been doing this all my life. I pledge allegiance to the Bible,
God's
holy word.
I will make
it
a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
I will hide his words in my heart
that I might not sin against God.
Amen. 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 You may be seated. Amen. I just pray that you realize those confessions you're making. All right, now, one other thing. He wanted us to sing the song, Jesus Loves Me. You all know that one? Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. A lot of people do. They're going to sing it with us, okay? Are you ready? I hope I can sing it after singing this morning.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Now, we sing that, but it's much more important that we believe it than it is that we sing it. I mean, you out here have been around a long time, and some of you have been singing Jesus Loves Me for decades. I mean, decades. You've been singing it for a while because of the opportunities that you've had. But the important thing is that we believe it. And it seems to me that there's a lot of people that sing it, but they don't really believe it. They like the idea of it, but what does Jesus love you? Well, I hope so. Well, why do you just have to hope so? He said so. For God so loved the world, the whole world. Even the people that don't love him, he still loves them. How many of you love the people that don't love you? See, that's hard for us to do as people. And I could ask the same thing of you adults out here. How many of you love the people that don't love you? And you know, because Jesus loves us doesn't mean that he's always pleased with everything that we do, and it does some things that we do don't bother him, but he never stops loving us. Never. And you know, the Bible says, John, the writer of John said, we love him because he first loves us. And so we need to really grasp on the fact that God loves us. Now, we're going to do something here. Some of you have seen this before. But we're going to show you how things work in the kingdom of God. Well, actually, in the earthly kingdom. Now, some of you haven't seen this, and some of you have. Now, you can see it, can't you? Can everybody see these glasses? All right, now we want to talk about the blood of Jesus Christ today, and if you've read anything in your books, then you see where we're headed. But, you know, when Adam and Eve, when God made Adam and Eve, let's say that this glass here represents Adam. Represents Adam when God made him. And then God breathed into him a living spirit. And that's that water that's on the inside. That's the spirit of Adam. Because you see, the only life there is about this right here is what's in that water. And believe it or not, that water's alive. The glass is not, but the water is alive. Now that's Adam. Now, we're going to leave this sitting here to remind you that that's the way God made us. Okay?
What does that glass represent? This one. It represents who? Adam. And how God made him in the beginning, right?
Okay. Yeah. Now, sometime after their creation, Adam and Eve allowed Satan, when he talked to them about eating the apple or the fruit. And when they ate the fruit, they realized they were sinners. And they lost the purity of that spirit because of what Satan poured into them. It became tainted. And the more it sits there, the more tainted it'll get. And that was man's condition, and there wasn't anything available to change it. Nothing around that could get this Adam back to this Adam. Just wasn't anything. Until a man named Jesus was born in a little city called Bethlehem. And he grew up, and 33 years after he was born, he hung on a cross and he shed his blood. And the scripture that we have in from Acts in the bulletin this morning is that he purchased the church with his own blood. He bought us back. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. But now, you know, if that glass sits there and you just sit there and sit there and sit there and you don't do anything, it's going to stay just like it is. It'll stay just like it is. But what we do is Jesus, now watch this, Jesus, come into my life and cleanse me of all my sins. Save me. Lord, I ask it. Amen. And then Jesus says, when we ask, he's faithful. And so we get an infusion of his blood. May not put enough in there. There you go.
Look at that. Now.
See, that's just, don't just take a little drop. Get as much of it as you can.
Yeah. Well, look, they're both
here. Now, it's back the way it was. Now, let me tell you something that's awesome. Now, I've had my sins cleansed. Jesus is in my life now, and look there, I'm clean. But you know, I'm going to run into sin. And if you've had Jesus come into your life and you're clean, but you're still going to run into sin too. Okay, so I'm somewhere and all of a sudden some sin runs into me. Wow. Now, let me ask you something. Did I have to put some more of that stuff in there? What was already there took care of the sin. And that's a truth and a principle in the kingdom of God, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from your sin. Now, the water is inside the glass. The water is clean. You could get all kinds of smudges on the outside of the glass, and you have to wash them off with something. You know what we wash off the smudges in our lives with? The Word of God. The Bible. We rub ourselves good in the Bible, and that washes off the stains that come against our mortal body, come against our lives, come against our faith. But our spirit is still clean by the blood of Jesus. Now, what did she use to put that in there? See anything like that kind of in a doctor's office? You ever had a shot? How many of you have had your immunization shots that you have to have when you go to school? Okay, you know, we get those. What do? They prevent, yeah, from now the rest of your life, you're not able to get whatever that was. It may come upon you. You may touch somebody. Let's say you had the measles vaccine. Chicken pox. Typhoid. I don't know if they even give that anymore or not. But you had some kind of a shot like that, the ones you have to get to go to school, that hurts when they stick a needle in. Now, you can come in contact with chicken pox. You can be around somebody with chicken pox. You can even have the chicken pox virus get on your skin. But your body cannot be affected by that chicken pox or the smallpox or whatever vaccination you got. It can't affect your body because now you're immune to it. You've got something in your body that prevents it from doing its damage in you. And you need to understand and look at it and believe that in your spirit, when you accept Jesus Christ into your life and you've had a real conversion experience, that His blood that is shed for you and that is alive in you makes it impossible for your spirit to be contaminated by the sin of this world. Now, your mind can be messed up. Your body can be messed up. Your thinking can be messed up. But your spirit is still covered by the blood of Jesus. It didn't drain out. And God never takes it away. Does that mean that everything you do is going to be wonderful? No. Because your head's going to mess you up somewhere. And that's why the more we get our minds converted to the Word of God, the more we start thinking like Jesus, the more we start thinking like the Word of God, we're getting less and less trouble. Any of y'all been, any of you sitting up here, you've been in trouble this week? Any of you got in trouble over anything? Now be honest, I bet most of you have. There you go. How about you adults? Have you been in trouble this week? That's what the blood of Jesus is for. And, you know, sin comes along again. You bump into it. And you know, oh Lord, I repent. Now some of you probably went a little tilt when Clifton said that time, he doesn't ever repent. You know, there's a difference between repenting because you believe that you lost your salvation and repenting because you believe you went the wrong way and you need to straighten it up. And, you know, your works didn't get your salvation. Your works won't lose your salvation. But your works will cause you to start thinking what the devil tells you to think. And then you'll start believing. And if you can get out of the kingdom of God, once you get in there, the way you get out is believe yourself out. I don't believe I'm saved anymore. Why? Well, I've just done all these works. What did you? How many works did you do to get saved? None. You just got to renew your belief. Renew your faith. And say, Jesus, I believe I'm saved. And I believe I'm righteous. If you read the bulletin this morning, I don't see how you can come up with any. If I can say I'm saved, I should be able to say I'm righteous. Because I don't always act saved. And you don't either. But we can always know that we are by believing. I am righteous. You always acted? Probably not. But the Bible says I am, so therefore I'm going to believe it. I'm going to believe it. And when you start believing stuff, you'll start acting like it. Negative and positive. If you believe that there's ghosts in the dark, you won't go in the dark room. Because you believe it. You believe there's a booger in there and he's going to get you. Now there may not be, and of course there isn't. In most cases, no boogers in there. They might as well be, though, because you're believing that they are, and it's affecting you as if they were. That's why our believing is so important. That's why our believing is so important. And you know, your mom and dad tell you stuff, and they don't tell you stuff to make it hard on you. They don't tell you stuff to take fun out of your life. They tell you stuff because they know if you'll do what they tell you, your life will be better. You'll be happier. And you won't be getting in trouble. Well, God bless you. I love all you guys. We had a good time tonight, didn't we? Brant and I went to a baseball game, Cincinnati Reds. And we let Brad and Matthew go with us. So we had fun. Okay, guys, I'll dismiss you. You can go get your bags and go back with your...
We're going to dismiss the ages 3 and down. We have nursery for you today.
I need this stuff moved again. Please. Jesus.